Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
High crotch, bring it back, single leg, swing. Let me teach you how to wrestle.
Okay.
Let me teach you how to wrestle.
Welcome back to Wrestling Mindset. We are here today with the great Jason Mouth. Yeah, a gift for everyone here. So, Jason, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to jump right into the things that you're doing. A lot of great stuff going on. We see a lot of videos, a lot of pictures posted. So talk about what's going on in your life and what you're doing.
Yeah, so, I'm training for the Olympic trials. So we're about 6 weeks out from the Olympic trials now, I think today. So I'm looking forward to that. And aside from that, I'm just working on my company, Ocean. We're a company that sells instructional videos online, and we just actually launched a feature for teams specifically too. So, everything's been going good. We have a team at Ocean of four guys. Gino Morelli was one of my teammates at Penn State, and then John Broughton, he's our videographer, and then a guy named Eric Longer and Russell DeMercyhurst. So we got a team of wrestlers, super talented people. And we just brought on a new guy named Jack too. So, but I don't want to bore you with all of that. So, but no, we're doing good. We're doing good. So that's where I spend most of my time is either training or working on the company. So that's what I'm focused on mostly.
Awesome. After an Olympic champ, we're going to see the sales just start to skyrocket even more than now.
Lord willing.
Yes, that's right. Yep, I got my shirt on. Non nisi te domine, which in Latin means nothing but you, Lord.
Yep.
They asked St. Thomas Aquinas, it was his feast day yesterday, when they said to him, for him, what do you want? It's nothing but you, Lord. So that's it. First and foremost. So now, with your videos, is it more, are you showing things in a certain structured way, or is there a certain aspect of the sport that you're emphasizing maybe more? Like, what's the angle your program's coming at from? How is it different than what's out there?
Yeah. Yeah. So we spend a lot of time kind of building out our instructional videos. Basically the way that I lay out my instructional videos is we talk about concepts at the beginning. So why is this position important? What are the most common mistakes that I see in this position? And then talk about the position conceptually a little bit, some other ideas. And then I get into, the fundamentals of the position. So say I'm covering crackdowns. I'll cover, okay, how do we get into the crackdown position? How are different ways that we can break this guy down from our high crotch, and kind of get into like different entries. And then we cover the position kind of periodically in system. So we'll have like option A, option B, option C for all the different techniques that you could hit from a certain position. And we lay them out. So some of our instructional videos are broad. Like I have an instructional video that's setups and attack entries. You could cover a collar tie setup, you could spend 2 hours on a collar tie setup itself. So I kind of go through that one more quickly. It's a more broad that covers a lot more topics, but then again, I have a crackdown, finishes instructional. That's only from the crackdown, only how to finish from the crackdown. So some are really specific and some are more broad, but you can tell based on like the description of the video, what you will cover in that video. But then after we kind of cover the bulk, I'll also cover competition strategy with that position, as well as different drills that you can use to implement that position. So we try to encompass all different ideas and concepts, as well as like the technique itself, in each instructional video. And the cool thing that I think, and this is one thing that separates us from our competitors, is we have a discussion forum on each instructional video. So people can actually ask questions if they're struggling in a certain position, or if there's a position that's related, they can ask questions and I'll see it and I'll be able to respond directly to them, which is really helpful for people that are trying to learn moves. Some of our other competitors, you just download the video and there's no interaction. And we have the best videographer in the game too, John. So I think there's a lot of things that separate us, and we're actually releasing an app here soon. So we have an app now. It's just, you download it through Safari. It's called a Progressive Web App, but we'll have a native app on the App Store in the next coming months. So we're looking forward to that launch. And aside from instructional videos, we also have subscription groups. So most of our content is through instructional videos, because subscription groups, you have to, like, the instructor has to be like fully committed to continuously adding content to that group. So we have a few that are committed to it. I'm the most committed to it. I post about 3 to 5 videos every week, and I respond to the people that comment on my group. But I have over 200 videos in my subscription group right now, probably 220 videos, and it's $20 a month to subscribe, but you continue to access those videos from before, and you'll get the weekly videos that I put out now.
So a ton of value right there. That'd be huge for any wrestler who's serious. Now, is that, I love the way you set it up. Like, you explain the concept first, and then the common mistakes you see in that position, and then, A, B, and C, different options from there. Is that the way you were coached growing up? Is that the Penn State way? Or is that kind of like a conglomeration that you threw together that you felt works for you?
Yeah, me and my partners did a lot of research on, how people learn the best. And I think that we came up with that at Penn State. I think a little bit of all of what you said. I think growing up, I had a lot of different types of coaches. I went to a few different clubs growing up. I went to Coach Waller, who is very old fashioned. We drill the same move for 30 minutes at a time. We'll do a 2-hour practice and only hit 4 moves, but he wants everybody to do it perfectly. He was really, really into the technique. And then we had some other coaches that were into technique, but were more about getting your mindset right to compete. And then we had other coaches that were about getting your conditioning right. So I kind of took, a little bit of everything from my coaches growing up, and what I thought was working best. But I think with a technique video, and in our research, I think that that's the best way to lay out a technique video, because tells people what they're doing wrong, and then tells them how to fix it, how to implement it in competition, how to implement it in your mindset, and then how to implement it into your practices if you're a coach that's just trying to watch it to help their team. Because you can know the technique, but what are ways that I can drill this to get my team to learn a technique, rather than just spending time just hitting the move back and forth? There's different, like if we're learning a snap down, you don't always have to learn how to snap a guy down all the way from his feet. Have your partner start on their knees, put your hands on your shoulders, and then work different ways to snap down from there. And that way, because sometimes it's hard to snap down, like somebody that's kind of wrestling hard with you, it's hard to snap them down. Maybe their neck snaps down, but they don't go all the way down to their knees. So there's different ways to kind of learn things. And that's one of my favorite drills that just popped up to the top of my head, is just a snap down drill from the knees. So,
I love it, because we need that kind of progression. A lot of times when we start on our feet, we Dude, now my kids being really young, so like, what are they really learning? Like at age 3 and 4, you tell them to grab a leg. It's like, listen, hold on, let's back way up. Let's do something where you can't fail. You know, so if you're starting on your knees, hands on. That's a lot easier than if we start in our feet. Then a guy takes a shot, and it's like, oh, we're not doing that move right now, or the guy sprawls. So you're like, you're backing them up in attention. That's huge. What age should people start using your program, your system? When would you, I mean, it'd be great for any wrestler. When would you think it's most appropriate, and how should they be looking at the program as a whole?
Well, I think that around 9 to 10 years old, you could start watching videos. I mean, honestly, I have a nephew that's like, I don't know, he's maybe 5. I think he's in kindergarten. He's like on his tablet all day. He knows how to work everything, every button. And when I was 5 or 6, like I didn't know anything. I don't even remember anything from there. But I think people are kids are getting more like technologically advanced as the years go on. So the age will probably go down. Like I would say right now, you know, when I started getting committed to wrestling was, I was about 9 years old. It was when I started going to club and, you know, I wasn't doing my elementary practices anymore. I was only going to club practices. I would say at that point, you could probably start watching instructional videos. I think before that it's like, okay, and even when you're 9 or 10, like you should still be watching it with somebody, you know, watching it with a friend or watching it with your parent, that can kind of help you walk through, because you should be watching these technique videos and trying to, like, I mean, you can learn wrestling without wrestling. I knew, you know, all about this visualization, super important. Just watching matches, just watching, technique videos, that's going to help your wrestling get better. But if you can get a partner, like say you even get your dad, you're wrestling with in your living room, say, hey, let's work on 2 moves tonight. Let's watch this instructional video. Let's work on these 2 moves. That's going to help your wrestling, you know, even just thinking about it outside of, you know, the regular practice, that's what helps separate you from your competition. And, you know, even when you're 9 or 10 years old, you might not be even thinking about your competition. You might just be, okay, this is something I want to do. I want to get better. I want to have fun. But if you really want to get better, you have to be doing more than just going to the practice.
Absolutely. And I like I said, about 9, 10 years old, that's usually the answer I get people, and they ask me, hey, when should I start mindset training? And I said, well, if you're a serious wrestler, like serious as defined, you're going year round and like multiple practices a week, you're probably going to need to start working on your mind around 9, depending on maturity, maybe 10. But yeah, like you said, the kids can absorb information at a younger age. Like you said, your nephew at 5, I mean, hey, he's got his tablet out. He's either going to be watching Spidey and his amazing friends, the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, or let's watch Jason Knopf out there. It's like, hey, that's great. Now it's getting like etched into his mind. And I also think about it almost like the language, like in psychology, the critical period where people develop language, that there's got to be some transfer over to what they're seeing and how it's processing in their brain. It kind of becomes part of who they are and like how they think about things. So
yeah, if you're constantly watching good technique, you're going to be better at technique than if you're not watching tech. Like as a kid, like kids are so smart. They learn so fast. As an adult, it's kind of hard to, change bad habits, but yes. if you don't create those bad habits and you're watching, you know, these videos as a young wrestler, then you can just start off with a lot stronger base. And maybe you're making mistakes right now, but you know, if you make the same mistakes you've always made until you're 15, 16, and then you try to change it, you can, but it's going to be a lot tougher than if you're learning technique from a young age.
Yeah. And that makes me think of this motor learning class that I took about this, whereas especially the imitation, the kid's ability to do imitate, maybe not reasoning, but the imitation is sky high at a young age, which makes sense. That's how we learn everything. So if they'll have that in their head, they see the move being hit. Oh, they'll learn how to imitate that. Now it's just kind of etched in there. Now that's huge. If you were starting a kid from the ground up, how do you have them approach the sport of wrestling? What should they be thinking? What are the first things they should be learning on neutral, top and bottom, even at the utmost basic level?
Yeah, I think, well, before I get into like technique suggestions, I would just say, I saw this Instagram post. It was of a golfer. He was asked, how do you get your kids into golf and so that they love it? And he was saying, you take them take them to the course when there's no stress. You know, there's, it's not a crowded time. You take them to the course, you let them play in the sand. You let them hit the golf ball out of the sand. Like, they're having fun. And right when they're having the most fun, you kind of take them away. So then they associate it. They associate golf and then they don't want to leave. They don't want to leave. If you wait until they're completely drained from the day and they're getting tired, then they start to associate the golf course as like a bad place, because they're like, I don't want to be here forever. But if you take them, if you kind of take them and then you leave whenever they're having the most fun, then that gets them excited to go back. And then on the way home, you take them for some ice cream, and then they associate golf with ice cream with mom or dad. And you can just, it just makes golf, like, you take them when they're 3 years old, you take them there, they're just playing, take them when they're four. And then maybe each time you stay a little bit longer and you start working on some technique, but then they learn to love the game rather than just taking them to a 2 hour practice and say, hey, we're working on lessons today. We're going to the golf course and we're doing lessons, rather than let's go and play and have fun. So I think you can do the same thing with the wrestling room. Find a wrestling room, take them, have them run around, do the warm up, play the game or whatever. They don't have to wrestle right away. Just get them around the room, get them around friends, have fun. Make sure they're not staying to practice for 2 hours where they start to get tired and want to go home. And then maybe the next time, maybe they want to wrestle for 10 minutes or you wrestle around with them. As a parent, you can wrestle around with them. And that's what my dad did with me. We used to wrestle at home. So that was something that I remember him, like, put me in a cradle or something. And I thought it was so fun. So I think associating wrestling with fun is really important, especially because it's such a hard sport. So viewing it as something, as a positive experience, rather than something that you don't really want to go to, especially if you start not wanting to go to wrestling practice at a young age, then it's tough. And kids don't always want to do, I mean, as a parent, I feel like you have to, like, decide for your kids a lot of time, like, what you're doing. Because if you let a kid decide what they want to do, they'd be eating ice cream for breakfast. And, like, there's certain things that you have to teach your kids. So yeah, you might have to take them to wrestling practice, even if they don't want to go, but still associating and having fun. And then technique wise, I think that the first thing they should just learn is a penetration step. So, you know, and we have instructionals that cover the penetration. We actually have Jody Stripmatter, was one of my club coaches, Young Guns. We just went and filmed an instructional with him on youth wrestling fundamentals. So we have a youth wrestling fundamentals neutral and a youth wrestling fundamentals top and bottom. So those will actually be coming out here shortly. Probably by the time this podcast is released, they'll be out. But he covers a lot of the stuff that youth wrestlers should be focusing on at an early age. And, even if you are a high school wrestler, things that we worked on at Young Guns a lot. But yeah, I think that learning a penetration step, learning how to stay in your stance, learning a good sprawl, like, you want to start as basic as possible. But if you get really good at a penetration step where you can, because nowadays a lot of people do like a drop step. They don't like fully penetrate to the legs and they're not explosive with their attack. So if you can get a really good penetration step, that can take you a long way. And then just being aggressive. I think that a lot of young wrestlers are successful when they're aggressive. So teaching them how to be aggressive when they compete, teaching them how to wrestle with enthusiasm and with some fire is something that's, and that goes into your mindset training. So I think that, yeah, obviously mindset, I learned mindset ever since I was 7, 8 years old. I had a coach, Doug Joseph, who would fire me up every practice. Like, after practice, he would give us a speech, a motivational speech, and that just trained my mindset. And that was really why, you know, I wrestled aggressively and everything like that. So, yeah, I think just learning the fundamentals, but learning how to, kind of master the fundamentals and be aggressive when you wrestle is really important starting off. But yeah.
The time is now to take your mindset to the next level with Wrestling Mindset. Make sure you go to our website, wrestlingmindset.com, and sign up for your free trial session today. Don't wait any longer. You want the mental edge right now. When you sign up for the free trial session, you're also going to get a copy of our free ebook, Building the Predator Mindset. This book has helped thousands of people build confidence, relax under pressure, get motivated, and build mental toughness in wrestling, school, and life. Make sure you sign up for your free trial session today.
That's awesome. And now, what about, you said before about strategies, tactics, right? Not just like a lot of times we learn moves, it's just like very disjointed. Like, hey, we learned this move and then we learned that move. And it's like, all right, well, now go out and wrestle. And it's like, well, we're not really thinking about how do I get myself into these positions? What am I trying to do? I was guilty of that competing too. It's like, well, how would you start a kid? When, I guess, around what age would you start talking more about tactics? Or would you put them in certain games or play situations where they're learning tactics without knowing it? Kind of like the Mr. Miyagi wax on, wax off. How do you build that in?
Yeah, I was never really, you know, the tactics that I was taught was be the first back to the center, like show good body language, you know, like, and that kind of goes into like get your hands on your opponent first. I don't think you need to be worrying about like different strategies at a young age as much. Really in folk style, it's not as much strategy as it is just like who's going to wrestle harder. And like technique is really important because it allows you to not waste your energy. When you have good technique and good feel and spend a lot of time wrestling, you can start to feel what your opponent's going to do. And that allows you to not waste energy trying to squeeze, try to hold on to them. So I think that I don't really know where I was going with that, but yeah, I think that, you know, learning good technique and just learning like body language tips, mindset tips. I think that stuff is important, like since you're a young kid. But yeah, I mean, the more that you like, say you're going to work on tactics in the wrestling room, you can implement different games so that they learn it. I wouldn't be like outright teaching like, hey, when, like, if you're, I don't know, like some of the freestyle things that I learn now, I never knew when I was a kid, but I don't think I needed to know those things, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Like I said, I was thinking just like, you know, any kind of like strategy where they're basically deliberate practice, I guess what it is. Not just checking off the box, I went to practice today. Like, I'm getting better. I'm working on developing a skill set. Or like how we see Kale talk about on different videos. It's like, it's just a game. And I know you brought this up a lot too, like just treating it as a game that I'm looking to master. Maybe the old school mentality was like, you don't play wrestling, you wrestle. And now it's like, well, no, you're still playing a game, and it's a healthy way to look at it and a fun way to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think just trying to get better every time you go to practice. And like, for me, I've always like focused on a couple moves at a time. So I don't try to learn like 15 different moves at a time, but I'll focus on like maybe one move from each position, or maybe I'm focused on two moves from the neutral position. And I'm trying to like really master those positions, like when I'm wrestling. And then once I feel like I got that, now I can go work on the next move and really try to like methodically master these moves rather than trying to learn everything at once. And I think that's a really good way to go about your development too.
Absolutely. And I'll talk about, so now approaching the off season, it's one of the things we said we were going to talk about, just how to approaching the sport, the importance of doing this year round, that you're really looking, I mean, it's kind of like obvious to say that, but deliberate practice year round, and how they could be utilizing the information that you have. How should they build that into their off season, as if there is an off season, into that training plan, like their weekly action plan? How should they be incorporating your material for optimal results?
Yeah. I trained every summer my whole life. So I've never taken a summer off since I was probably nine or 10 years old. You know, obviously I'm not training as much in the summer as during the year, but I would go to wrestling camp. I'd do like a 5-day wrestling camp, like four or five times a summer. Which that was like, for me, I was like, this is a lot. Like as a kid, I'm like, I just want to play with my friends. But like my dad would send me there, I'd be like, okay, well, I know that I'm here for a reason. This is helping me get better. And, you know, looking back as a kid, you have to do the tough things if you want to set yourself up for success later on. And if you're not wrestling in the summer, then you're letting, like, I always, when I was training, I was like, I know who's training and who's not training. These guys that aren't training, I'm passing them up right now. They still might beat me next year. I never thought that, but like, I was like, I'm always going to beat them, but they might still beat you next year, but then the next summer you're going to train again and you're going to keep getting better. And, you're going to continue closing the gap. And then once you beat them, then you're going to widen the gap. And, so I think that, you know, I think everybody, if you want to, you can find a wrestling room. You don't even need a wrestling room. You can do it in your living room too. But you know, the more like good partners that you can find to train with during the summer, the better. Like, I think the importance of having a good training partner is like invaluable. I think that, you know, and parents know each other. You guys know who's good at wrestling. So if you're a parent, find your kid the best partner that they can have. Find them somebody that can beat them so that they have to keep getting better and go and work technique. You know, you have the two parents, you have the two kids, go watch the technique videos that we're putting out there and work on those positions and work on getting better. Once they really start to master that, get some more technique videos and, you know, implement it in your training over the summer. Think about the amount of hours that you're going to put in over the summer rather than not training at all. You're bound to get so much better and you'll just continuously see the big growth. But I credit a lot of my success to my dad and my coaches, but also and one of the most important part was my partners, having kids that could push me. If I just go to practice every day and I'm just killing everybody, then I don't really have to make any changes in my mind. But if I'm going to practice and I'm having tight matches or I'm losing, that's going to help me get better. And I think that a lot of kids, they just want to win and they don't think about the importance of losing, of wrestling guys that are better than them. Cause it, like for me, like I remember going to Young Guns when I was a freshman, and Jody was putting me with like the kids that I didn't think were good and the kids that I would be. And I'm like, no, I want to wrestle with the best guys in the room. And I would go like with Tyler Smith. And he'd be like, no, like let's switch him. And I had to kind of prove, I had to earn that and kind of prove. So I continue getting better. I was like, I have to prove that I can train with these best guys. So I just always wanted to wrestle with the best guys because I knew that was going to make me better and better. So.
Now, when your dad would send you to those camps, would you go with a friend or would you go with by yourself?
He just sent me. Yeah. I had friends that were there. But I just knew them from wrestling. So, yeah, it was like, but I feel like I had a good temperament. Like I didn't really get homesick. I was always like ready to be done with the camps, but at the same time, I knew that it was good for me. So, I mean, I was like, as a kid, like you just like, again, you just want to play games and like, you don't really want to go to wrestling camp your entire summer, but got to do the tough things young. So.
Right. What are some of the biggest maybe mental mistakes that you see people approaching the sport? Like some common perspective things that might be off that you would tweak with people. Like you're not looking at this right. You should be looking at it this way.
So a few things. One thing I think is one of the biggest things is people view nerves as a bad thing. You know, Coach Kale always talks about having nerves as your buddy. You know, being nervous means that you care, but it's not fear. You know, fear is thinking that your value comes from winning or losing, but nerves just mean you care. So it's going to help you. You know, if you're not nervous when you're competing, and I actually studied this in college too. If you're not nervous, you compete worse. So if you are nervous, your adrenaline's going to kick on. You know, you're going to be stronger and faster when you need to be. You're going to be more reactive. So I think like recognizing that nerves are a good thing is really, really helpful. And I think that if more kids knew that, like even me still, like I'll get nervous and I'm like my mind will want to tell me it's a bad thing, but I have to, but I do mindset training. So I have to know like, no, it's not a bad thing. This is a good thing. I'm happy that I'm nervous and just recognizing that. And then another thing is like, and I saw Bo Nickel and Anthony Cassar do a podcast. It's on Spotify, Nickels and Dimes. But they had Johnny DeJulius on, which was actually a really fun listen. Johnny is really, really not loud, but he's very opinionated, and I love it. I like the way that he speaks. So, and he's a really nice kid. But he was saying that kids would rather take a forfeit than wrestle. Like he was saying, like, you go out to a wrestling match and, you know, they're calling for your opponent and they're like, all right, third and final call. The kids are happy because they're like, oh, I'm not going to have to wrestle this match. I'm going to win. I'm going to get on to the next stage. They would rather take a forfeit than compete, even though competing is the reason that you're there, is to wrestle and get better. You're not there to win. You want to win. Everybody wants to win, but you're there to compete and to get better. And I thought that was an interesting point that he made. Because when I was a kid, I don't even remember, like, in college, I definitely didn't want forfeits. Cause I'm trying to get pins. I'm trying to, like, get bonus points and, like, you know, fight for that aspect of it as well. But, yeah, I always thought it was interesting when that was a good point that he brought up. So I think just, like, learning to, like, even if you're going to lose, it's better to compete, because it's going to help you get better. Like, no one really cares if you win the PJW state championship. Like, people are going to forget. No one really cares if you win the high school state championship. People are going to forget. There's always something next. Like, I won the national title, but, like, nobody talks about it anymore. Like, it's old news. Now there's new guys coming in, and you know, now it's about winning the Olympics, and then there'll be something more after that. So I think just knowing that your value is not in wrestling and not being afraid of nerves and just going out and competing and having fun.
Right. Of course, the faith aspect. And of course, there's that has the benefits at the most importantly, the supernatural level, but even at a natural level, it puts things into perspective. So we don't just define ourselves by the sport. And then, yeah, like you said, I thought that was really good that it's just reminding ourselves of why we like wrestling, like, and hey, yeah. Nerves. We've to actually talk to ourselves. It's not just a matter of, hey, I get nervous, this is a bad thing. No, this is a good thing. When I had Stefan Michich on, he was saying, like, reminding himself even at the World Championships, like, when he started saying, hey, do I even want to be here? Saying, like, yes, this is exactly what I asked for, the absolute toughest road. Like, you don't have to panic when you get these automatic thoughts. You just remind yourself consciously of why you want to do this.
And I think people try to ignore the negative thoughts rather than, like, accepting them and replacing them. So the more you try to like ignore those thoughts, the louder they become. And so I think recognizing that those are negative thoughts and they're not from God, you know, they're from the world. And just saying, like if negative thoughts are saying, hey, you know, you're not made for this. You're not ready. You're just replacing, no, I am ready. I train harder. I do everything that my coaches tell me. You know, I do more. I eat healthy. I don't drink. I don't smoke. You know, I'm in the room. I'm doing my massage. I'm doing my stuff. Like, knowing the things that you've done and put in and prepare for will allow you to replace those. But if you're not doing everything right, then it becomes hard. So do everything right, and then you can be confident when it's time to compete.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not talking about selling hope or just all smoke and mirrors. It's actually putting that work in. Awesome. Great stuff. Anything else you wanted to bring up? Still have a few more minutes.
I think just adding on to that last point is like, maybe, yeah, no, I don't even want to bring that up. I was going to say, it's better for a guy that's maybe not even doing everything right to believe in themselves than somebody that is doing everything right but doesn't believe in themselves. Like,
it's a paradox. It's both. Yeah. Like, you really need to do both. And it's hard, yeah, because in wrestling, it's like, you really, like, in the ideal scenario, you're doing every little thing right, and then the day of a match, completely let go, and now you're just a freewheeler. Well, that's like, you're approaching one thing where you're leaving nothing to chance, and now you're just throwing caution to the wind. Which is why, like you said, it's important that we're thinking about this mentally ahead of time, how to approach it. So that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
You're obviously not saying for people not to care and to do things wrong. Clearly you don't live like that, but it's like, no. but there is But you know, you do need to be confident and decisive and go for it. So it's yeah. both and.
Yep, absolutely. That's a good way to put it.
For sure. So okay, so now I guess before we go, how should people be implementing your program? Should they be looking at your videos? Would you say, like, I know they could look at it every day if they want, but would you say, hey, maybe twice a week and you work on one technique a week or one technique a month? How would you have them utilize your material?
We have a guy, that I was talking to, he's a customer, but you know, a guy that likes our platform a lot. He was saying that he does Technique Sunday. So he'll buy a new instructional like every Sunday or every other Sunday, and he'll implement that technique for the week. So he just bought my front headlock blueprint instructional, which is a longer one. That one's about 2 hours covering all the positions from the front headlock, but he'll watch it on Sunday and then he'll spend that entire week or this for this one, maybe 2 weeks implementing that technique and working on that. And then he'll do like my crackdown series and he'll spend the week working on my crackdown. So I think that doing something like that, you know, spending a week or two on each instructional, and you always have that technique to refer back to in your drills and in your practice plans later. But, you know, if you could focus on that, and maybe if you're more of a beginner wrestler, maybe every 3 to 4 weeks you buy a new instructional video and spend time working on that. So I think that's a good way to do it. At least spending a good amount of time on each instructional video before you buy another one is important. But if you want to, but some people buy in bulk too. So they'll buy like 4 or 5 instructionals and then they'll have a month or 2 months of instructional video content that they can just spend time working on. I would suggest finding positions that you struggle in. If you struggle at finishing your takedowns, buy an instructional on takedown finishes. You don't need to buy a setups instructional if you're struggling on your finishes. So we have ton of different positions, basically every position that you could think of, you know, on our platform. So, you know, I don't doubt that you'll be able to find the position that you struggle in on our platform. And all of our instructors are super high level wrestlers, you know, NCAA champions, NCAA Americans, world champions. So, no matter who you pick, it's going to be really high level technique.
That's awesome. Great stuff, Jason. Thank you for everything. We'll have to do another show sometimes. There's a ton of other questions I could ask you. Let's do a lightning round with some fun questions.
All right.
Okay. If you could wrestle any wrestler in history, and you know, assuming you guys are the same weight, who would you pick?
For some reason, and I've never even watched this guy wrestle, but I remember seeing that everybody was saying that I would like to wrestle this guy. It was Lincoln McIlravey from Iowa. Everybody was saying that would be a good matchup. So I'll just go with that one.
Okay, now let's do the Fight Club question. If you could, you know, go against any historical figure, who would it be? That's a funny question.
Yeah, if I could wrestle any historical figure.
Yeah.
Let me think. Any random person. I don't care about this, but what is coming in my head is Abe Lincoln.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say Abe Lincoln. That'd be funny.
That was the pick in Fight Club. Okay, yeah. If you could add one move to your arsenal right now that you don't have right now, what would it be? Then all of a sudden now you were freaking that.
I would say like more body locks and throws. I would like to be better in those positions.
All right. Favorite cereal?
Probably Cocoa Pebbles.
All right. And finally, the ever important, shake your tail feather or shake it like a Polaroid picture?
Oh. Shake your tail feather was the OG. So I got to go with that.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
All right, awesome stuff, Jason. Oh, where can people find your material? Let's conclude with that.
Yeah, so you can go to app.athletesocean.com, and then you can browse our most recently released instructionals as well as our featured instructionals. You can also check out my subscription group there. But the homepage will have everything that you need, and then you can go further into the other instructionals if you want as well. So app.athletesocean.com.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Jason, for everything. Really appreciate it. We'll have to do it again. keep up with your progress and everything. Best of luck at the trials. It's going to be awesome. We know you're going to do great and keep up the great work. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You got to play some golf now, so let's get that mind right for that.
I'm ready.
That's it.
Good talking with you.
All right, take care.
See ya.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.